It is the morning show reacting to Dan Quinn joining us this morning, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, as we get ready for the final home game of the regular season. You know, it just leaves you scratching your head because as we talk about the Hugh, there's turnovers, and Coach mentioned it a couple of times about the turnover margin last week. You know, it's one thing if you have, you know, turnovers, and it's another that this team happens to have turnovers, and we've mentioned it before, the most inopportune time in the most inopportune way to kill their scoring chances.
Yeah, it's been one of those things, John, where it's like you get a little momentum and then you shoot yourself in the foot. And I think Coach Quinn alluded to that earlier this week when he was talking about shooting himself in the foot. But it's also a lot going on with this team right now that you really cannot put your finger on. And I wholeheartedly believe that. There's a lot of injuries, obviously. There's a lot of injuries. But I think that for you to progressively get worse as the weeks go on, I think there's a little bit of frustration laying into that, coming into play with this team right now. Maybe a little bit of finger pointing, maybe a little bit of that. But it's just a trying time for them right now, because when you think about it, for Coach Quinn to come in and have the kind of success he had early on and then to go through this adverse situation, some of these guys probably don't know how to handle this type of adversity. You know, when you're being called to the mat and things of that nature. So it's something going on with this team that they have to get it corrected this weekend.
It is the morning show, as mentioned, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, discussing Dan Quinn's interview ahead of Sunday's game against the Arizona Cardinals, final home game of the season. 4-9, they've lost 5 games in a row. You know the numbers. We don't have to get into all of that. And honestly, I'm not really sure where you go from here in terms of finishing out the year. You want to obviously try and win a game or two. I don't think it makes that – this is just me. I know some fans are thinking, hey, it's going to be better if you lose all 3 games and you get, you know, potentially, who knows, top 3 pick. Who knows, maybe the number 1 pick in the NFL draft. I don't think it makes that much difference if you get the right guy. And you know, I mean, you've got to – it doesn't matter where you pick so much as you just get the right guy, because you can make a great pick at 4 or a bad pick at 4, a great pick at 9 or a bad pick at 9.
Yeah, but I think most people thinking if you're picking the higher, you got a better chance of picking the guy that you want. You know, if you're picking in the top 5, you have a better chance of landing the guy that you specifically want. So I think that's how a lot of people are looking at it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that thought, because it is true. But if you look at, like, the depth at defensive tackle, you're going to have to make sure that you make the right, you know, idea in the right way. You rank these guys the right way, because I'm not sure if I look at, you know, the defensive tackles, for example, that are available in the draft, Hugh. When you're scouting them, you have to make sure that you understand the difference between Dexter Lawrence and Raekwon Davis and Rashawn Gary and all of these defensive tackles, and who can help you the most in the best way that they can help you.
That's why they have scouts, and that's why they go out and they scout guys for your specific team. I mean, I think a prime example of that is the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers scout. They go out. And they have a certain type of linebacker that they go out and get. They've done a very successful job throughout the draft of getting guys that fit that mold for them. They have a very, very specific way that they run their offense, and they do a great job of going out and getting guys that fit that mold, going back to the Franco Harris, Mean Joe Green days. So it's one of those things where you got to have a strong scouting department that can go out there and know exactly what your philosophy is and know exactly what you're looking for to help fit what you're trying to do. Dangerous or not is a good example of that, John, is when you look at how he's built and how he's come along. They put him in the mind of Grady Jarrett. Now, Grady Jarrett, I think, developed a lot faster than a lot of people anticipated him to. Not to say that Dangerous or not hasn't done that. He's still a young player. But you look at the kind of guys that they draft at certain positions, and you can see the body types that they're looking for.
And it'd be interesting this offseason here to see, you know, what they do in terms of free agency. I mean, because this is a team that has not been shy to go into free agency and get a veteran player to come in to help the locker room, help the rotations. They have made that move a few times. We saw it with Dwight Freeney, for example. We certainly saw it with the move they made for Dontari Poe. And will they go back out into free agency again and try and shore up a position? I'm sure they will. And then, of course, it falls upon the draft to, you know, fill another spot or two in terms of the holes that you may have on the team that you want to fill, but you got to have to get 3 starters. You asked a couple of interesting questions I want to go back to in the interview we have with Dan Quinn. One, you ask about position rotations, Hugh, and whether, you know, that we're going to see a lot more of the position rotations. The coach said, well, that basically that he's believed that the players earn this in practice. He talked directly about Sambrelo, for example, and that makes you, you know, gives you a little wonder about, you know, they're gonna. It's almost like an audition now. Can Ty Sambrelo win that job for next year? And what does that mean for Ryan Schrader? There are guys with jobs on the line.
Yeah, I mean, but it was one of those things that it really was played close to the vest. It was nothing that was readily announced last week. So it's one of those things where I guess the work week is where you doing most of your evaluation. And I know that you're probably saying in the car, where they always evaluate during the work week. Not to this level. Not to where, you know, you're thinking about changing tackles as game time decisions. That it doesn't usually work like that. Like, if you're going to be the starter, if you're starting, you're going to know by Wednesday, because Wednesday is your first official work day. So that's pretty interesting that it kind of went down the way that it did. So that's why I asked the question, because it just makes you kind of curious about what happened between Wednesday and Sunday that influenced that decision.
Coach also talked about the evaluations. Now, this is stuff that has been, you know, very public. We understand that. I mean, it's all over the newspapers and the internet. We're talking about it too. It's no shock that they're evaluating everything. But he went on a little bit further in stating that, you know, they're looking at everything, and that starts with me. So, I mean, you know, Coach is reflective. He's introspective about this. He's got to figure out if there is a disconnect, and there obviously is a disconnect on this team, what's happening? Where's the disconnect coming? And so he's, you know, this is that kind of retrospect going, okay, what am I missing in terms of getting my message across to my club?
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid question, John. That's a valid question, and it's unfortunate. We can't, you know, we're not in a position to answer that. You know, we're not in a position to answer that. And it's something that if it goes even more south this weekend, then there's going to be some even tougher questions to ask. It really is.
Yeah, no, if it goes south this weekend, man, I don't want to be hosting a radio show on Monday.
Nah. don't want to be, probably won't be hosting one on Wednesday either. Don't want to do that on Wednesday either, so yeah.
Where am I going to be? Magic City, listen to you. No, I'm not going to go to Magic City.
No, we know you ain't going to Magic City. You made that abundantly clear, Johnfrey. You ain't about to go to Magic City.
Yeah, and that's not going to really pretty much happen in my space. I'm just saying, not even with an MLS cup, you couldn't drag me to Magic City at this point in my life. Well, but you know why? Because, all right, I'm going to get off topic here, but I don't want to do that. Because it's just not, I mean, all right, anyway, let's get back to the Falcons here. Devontae Freeman, the update on Devontae Freeman is that from Coach, he's in the same space. He is not back yet. He is still in rehab. There was a thought that Devontae could return for the final two games of the year, which, of course, the road games against the Carolina Panthers in Tampa Bay. But he is not ready to come back yet. And if he is ready to come back, because we had this conversation with Deion Jones, and I know, Hugh, that some fans have said, look, if 45 is ready, so what? Why would you even play him? Just shut him down for the year, make sure he's healthy for next season, because this is a lost year. The reason you play him is because of the fact that you have to get him back up to speed, game speed for starters, and second to that is because you're not going to lay down. It'd be a disservice to everybody not to play.
And he provided a spark. That was the biggest thing that I took from that game. You know, now he made mistakes, and Coach alluded to the fact that he made mistakes, but he provided a spark that was much needed for this defense. And you know, John, this is the time of year, man, where it's bad, no question about it, but you got to fight through that. You got 3 weeks. You have 3 weeks, and this is one of the weeks that you have to fight through this. You have to. You have to fight through this.
Then as to Austin Hooper, Coach said there was good news revolving around Austin Hooper, that even though he's not going to practice today, that he has not been ruled out for the game on Sunday. To Austin Hooper, we have seen him grow and mature as a pass-catching threat in this offense from year to year to year. Are you happy with his growth curve as he becomes more of a weapon in this team? Because I think he's really developed into I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Austin Hooper is a star. I'm not going to do that.
He's a decent tight end.
Yeah, he's a decent
tight end. He's a serviceable guy. It's kind of hard to see, John, with all these other overshadowing issues that this team has, to really kind of give him those props. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I definitely hear what you're saying. But there are so many glaring problems with this team that it's hard to look and say, oh, well, hey, you know, he is playing well. I mean, he is, but it's like, dude, what's wrong? Because the one thing that we all thought when we looked at this football team and we knew that they were decimated with injuries on the defensive side of the ball, was that this offense will be able to carry them. This offense has been pedestrian the last couple of weeks. Now, Julio's getting his. That's something that you do see. But as far as the offense that was scoring 20-some-odd points a game and you know, throwing deep balls all over the yard and things of that nature, hasn't been that. Has not been that at all. Has not been nowhere near that.
We're reacting to the Dan Quinn Wednesday interview with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we get towards the final home game of the year, mercifully towards the final home game of the year in a lot of ways, against an Arizona Cardinals team that is – I don't know who the worst team in the NFL is, but they're right there. And that's a team that has been really banged up. We mentioned it earlier this year. 14 – and think about this – 14 players on the injured reserve list, including Robert Nkemdiche, who went on the IR this week for Steve Wilks, the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. 14. Coach did talk – Quinn talked about some of the weapons, because if you think about Arizona being the worst team in the league, Hugh, they still do have – they have a young quarterback in Josh Rosen who's got a live arm, but you do have David Johnson. You do have Larry Fitzgerald. You do have playmakers on that team. I mean, there's no question of the fact that this team, when you look at it from a name standpoint, whether it's Chandler Jones or Larry Fitzgerald or David Johnson, you go, you know, those are pretty good players. They just haven't had a quarterback, and Josh Rosen's a kid.
Yeah, it is, man, and it just hasn't gone well for them. And, you know, Arizona Cardinals are in the same situation that Atlanta Falcons are in. They're going to try to finish strong and hope next year that, you know, with a little bit of seasoning under his belt, Josh Rosen, that is, that he'll be a better quarterback. He learned from the mistakes that he made this year.
Right, and so I think that it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the growth curve of these young quarterbacks, whether it's Sam Darnold or Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen, you know, how are they going to be, you know, 2 to 3 years from now? Because let's not forget, a lot of people had written off Jared Goff, remember that first year of Jared Goff and how awful it was until Sean McVay turned him around? I mean, that was...
And then the light went on and then boom!
Boom, right. And suddenly Jared Goff is being talked about as, you know, potential MVP. So, you know, it could turn around for Josh Rosen as well. Rosen's an interesting character because when, you know, he got the nickname Chosen Rosen when he came out of high school, because when UCLA recruited Josh Rosen, think about all the guys he had out here that were, you know, a part of that kind of class here. But he was the golden child, Hugh. He was the guy.
Oh, yeah. I knew he was legit, well, he was live when he got the hot tub. The girl, I guess they played in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And he flew the girl out to L.A. in the hot tub situation. Matter of fact, that got me thinking now, John. I wonder if he met her in Arizona. I'm pretty sure they probably...
Yeah, I think they did. I think he spied her out of the crowd or something.
They probably dated for a little while. I don't know that for sure. I'm just kind of making it up. But still, to be in the same city of the young lady that you met, that's pretty clutch. That's a pretty clutch situation for him.
Yeah, I mean, so he was the one who was supposed to be the guy that carried UCLA to this fame and fortune. And he's a good quarterback who's never quite, amassed all of the... You know, then again, he's on the Arizona Cardinals, all the kind of like acclaim that other quarterbacks have. So people kind of forget about him. But it's not out of the question that Josh Rosen in a couple of years is a quality NFL quarterback because, as Coach Quinn said, he has a live arm. This is why when he came out of high school, everybody, you know, loved him so much, was because, Hugh, he has this rocket for a cannon for an arm, and everybody falls in love with that big arm. You know that. It's like the Jeff George syndrome. You fall in love with that big arm. And Josh Rosen has that big arm. He can really sling, really, really rip it. That's the direct quote of Coach Quinn. Falcons and Arizona Cardinals. Well, you know, I think that at this point, I mean, I still can't get past it. And I know some fans want the Falcons to slide here, and boy, let's get a higher draft pick. But I will. When I'm watching the game on Sunday, I will just let you know that as I'm watching the game on Sunday, I am not going to root for the Falcons to lose the game. It is just not in my DNA.
I don't think anybody does that, John. I mean, I think it's more so, how are they going to lose the game? It's not about losing the game. It's like, what's going to happen this week that's not going to go your way? Because I don't know about you, but there has been nothing that has happened in the last couple of weeks that's given me any hope that they could win out. I mean, and you know, playing against Arizona. I can sit here right now and to a man and tell you, I don't think that they're going to beat the Arizona Cardinals. What? Why? Because they ran the ball a little bit better? Yeah. No, 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 They were a better team that we thought were a better team than Baltimore Ravens. 16 points? 26, 60, something like that? We thought they were a better team than the Green Bay Packers. What was the score of that one? They got, 16 points again? Something like that?
I look at it, and I look at all these losses in this five-game losing skid. You know, Cleveland was, I don't even know how to describe the Cleveland loss anymore. And then you have the heartbreaker against Dallas where they're going to – it's almost like, right, you know, you tie the game, and as soon as you tie the game, you go, well, Dallas is going to go 75 yards, and they're going to win the game.
Well, it's like this. You love your team, man, but at the same time, you have to be realistic about the situation that we're in. I mean, I know it's a tough pill for some to swallow, but that's the reality that I live in a reality type deal, the real world. So I can't do that.
Our coverage will begin at 9 a.m. Hopefully we have a win to talk about coming up on Sunday as the Falcons play the Arizona Cardinals, 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mercedes-Benz also going to be hosting the Peach Bowl, which next year will be a semifinal game for the college football playoff. And this year, well, they got Michigan and Florida, two marquee teams. The head of the Peach Bowl, Gary Stokin, will join us live to talk about their matchup at MBS. Game. Morning show on Sports Radio 90. John the Game on this Wednesday, counting down towards the big weekend ahead. And it seems like every weekend is a big weekend. And, of course, in town, we will have a big party coming up in the not-too-distant future when the Super Bowl rolls back into Atlanta. And, of course, with the big events in town, when you start to think about the list of them that have come through Atlanta, the Olympics, the Super Bowls, the Final Fours, maybe the World Cup coming up in 2026, and, of course, the national championship games that we've seen. Gary Stokin has been a man through his career, has been kind of at the very heart of all of it, and he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline to talk a little bit about the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl and some of the other things that are going on in town. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how are you? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So you got a big Peach Bowl coming up. Michigan and Florida, right? Got a great matchup.
Great matchup, number 7, number 10. We're sold out. And, you know, two huge football brands. So we'll kick off at noon leading into the two semifinal games on December 29th. And we're really excited about it.
Gary, this is a two-part question for me. How long have you been doing this, for one? And does it ever get old, or is it still exciting to you?
Hi, you. It's a great question. I've been doing this 20 years now. So with the Sports Council, and gave up the Sports Council in 11. When I was doing the Hall of Fame stuff and the bowl. And that's that. And then does it get old? No, you know, what's interesting about our work with the kickoff game and the golf tournament, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl Challenge and the bowl game, we've got a nice, you know, and doing the Dodd Trophy stuff, we've got a nice mix of things throughout the year. And, you know, as you know, having played, every year is a different year. So it makes it interesting. Now, the one thing I do miss is the opportunity to select the teams, because now the CFP selection committee selects our teams as a New Year's Six Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not an invitation thing anymore, right? It's just you sit around on a Sunday afternoon and say, okay, who's coming? Right. I got you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, but you couldn't have been too disappointed. Gary Stokin, executive director of the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, in getting these two teams, as you mentioned, two marquee brands. They met at the beginning of the season last year, and now they're back knocking heads again.
Yeah, we've had, you know, over the first 5 years of the New Year's Six CFP games, we've had 8 out of the 10 teams that we've had have all been top 10 teams. So, you know, just like this year with number 7 versus number 10, and next year we'll host the semifinals again. We'll have either number 1 against number 4 or 2 against number 3. So, you know, we couldn't be any more pleased to have made the jump up to the CFP. And also, we announced earlier in the year that we've extended our contract for another 6 years to be a part of the New Year 6 CFP games. And so we'll host the semifinals again in 2022 and 2025 as well.
The College Football Notebook this morning brought to you by Dixie Vodka. You can visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America, and by God, raised in the South. And when you're talking about the South, Michigan and Florida coming to the Peach Bowl as they get ready for the Wolverines and the Gators in one of the New Year's Six games. Gary Stokin is the executive director of the Peach Bowl, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and joining us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Gary, a little bit about this. You mentioned the semifinals next year and in the rotation that you're in. This college football playoff, there's been a lot discussed about it, and I'm not going to go down that road in terms of whether or not we should expand the playoff. But, boy, has it been a boon in a lot of ways to games like the Peach Bowl that have had an opportunity, to the city of Atlanta, which has had an opportunity outside of the Peach Bowl to host a national title game, and to elevate the bowl games like yours to another status.
Oh, that's a great point. You know, you think about it. I remember in 1998 when Georgia and Virginia were in our game my first year, and it was reported that, you know, in the headlines of the AJC, Georgia was going to a third-tier bowl game. And so that's how kind of we were perceived. And to make that move now to be in the same sentence as the Rose, the Sugar, the Orange, and the Cotton and Fiesta, is quite an accomplishment by Atlanta, all the fans here who have supported us, the partners, the stakeholders, the sponsors, et cetera. So we're in a great position. You know, we'll probably see another national championship game, hopefully, you know, toward the end of, 27, 28, 29, 30, somewhere in there again. And our kickoff games, you know, the Chick-fil-A kickoff game has changed the face of college football. And given the CFP a real major data point. And so, next year we'll have Alabama and Duke, and in 20 we'll have three games in a week. 21 we'll have two games. The amount of teams that we're bringing, elite teams and elite games to the city of Atlanta, along with the College Football Hall of Fame, the award show for college football, you know, there's no doubt, you know, that we are the capital of college football now, and it's been helped by, you know, what the Peach Bowl Inc.'s been able to do.
Yeah, it really has grown into something impressive.
Well, Gary, with you being the CEO and the president, are you involved with the swag bags and making up the swag bags? And if so, how do you make the decision on how to make the swag bags?
Yeah. You've got a lot of swag bags before, haven't you, playing in bowls?
No, yeah, you know, and I'm always like, some of those swag bags, man,
yeah,
they're
pretty
some
nice.
Really good stuff. And I'm just kind of wondering, how does that work? Because I'm pretty sure with the Chick-fil-A Bowl, there has to be a Chick-fil-A gift card in there.
There definitely is Chick-fil-A. That's the first thing. That's the natural. There's no discussions regarding that. And the kids love that. But, you know, what we do is we, probably for a long time, we're the only bowl that did this. We went back on campus a month after the game, and we surveyed the players and the head coach and the trainers and the equipment managers all the way up to the president. And asked, you know, what I say is the good, the bad, and the ugly. What do we do good? What do we do bad? What do we do ugly? So that we can improve, because they're our customers. And what we learned is, although the players like electronic equipment, some of them have a lot of it. And so for us to guess as to what we can provide, you know, didn't make a lot of sense to us. And so what we moved to is a vanilla Visa card, where basically it is a Visa card that they can go buy, you know, whatever they want. If they want to buy, you know, presents for their little brothers and sisters or their mom and dad, or they want to get something from the self. So the players really like that flexibility. And we're limited in that we can give them $550. And then the team matches that. And the team typically gives them clothing, you know, if they're Adidas or they're Nike, whatever. They give them warm-ups and clothes, sweatshirts, and things like that. And that's good for us because, again, we can't guess the sizing, mm-hmm. where they already know the sizing. So we give them a $300 vanilla Visa card. We give them a white-paneled football. So we have a signing date where we bring in pizza for everybody, and we let the kids get each other's football signed, because in 5 years, you know, when they're out of football, most of them, you know, they're going to want to have that ball sitting on their credenza in their office, wherever they're working or whatever, at home, for the memories. And then we provide them with a Chick-fil-A card. We give them, I think this year it's an Echo. And so I'm probably missing something in there. But You know, it's a good opportunity for them to have the flexibility to buy whatever they want electronically or gifts or whatever. So we found that works the best. Now, some bowls do gift suites, but we found that what we do, and we typically get rankings that are in the top five every year of the best swag bags. So, yeah, it works pretty good for us.
Oh, I know. I know. I've seen the rankings. That's why I asked the question. I just wanted to know if you were the brains behind the swag bags.
No. Derek Martin, who's our vice president of events, he's the one that orders all that, and he runs it by all of us in the senior management, but that's Derek's job, and he does a great job with it.
Gary Stokins, the executive director of the Peach Bowl, joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines up against the Dan Mullen-led Florida Gators in this year's Peach Bowl. Gary, if I can, in the final minute or so here, I just want to, because you mentioned it, you brought it up, and I want to broaden this back out. We talk about Atlanta as a marquee destination, not just for college football, but for all events. Super Bowl's coming, and of course we have we go back to when it all kind of began with the Olympics, when Atlanta really, there were Super Bowls before then, but that's really the kickstart of all of this. We have a World Cup around the corner. Are you looking at this and thinking that Atlanta, because I know you're intricately, you're integral to the growth of Atlanta. You have been throughout your whole career. Is this a chance for us to have a world stage like we've never had, even with the Olympics?
Yeah, no doubt about it. One of the things when we made a bid when I was still with the Sports Council and for the 2018 and 22 games, World Cup games, we had put in the bid to host the International Broadcast Center. And I hope that we win that, because that's like 7,500 media from around the world in your city for a month, writing about your city, going to your restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. And so the economic impact of that alone is huge. And we made that bid with the Georgia Dome. Now having Mercedes-Benz Stadium and being the best stadium in the world right now, I think we could possibly get the International Broadcast Center and the semifinal game. So it's going to be huge for Atlanta exposure. And if you think about, John, I know you were at CNN at the time, but back in 1996, back in 1990, when Atlanta won the rights to host the Olympic Games, a lot of people around the world didn't know Atlanta. They thought Atlantic City won the rights because Atlanta wasn't a very well-known city. Well, because of the Olympics, we've become an international, powerhouse now city, and grown from, we're up to like, 6-7 million people. When I moved here in 1980, there were 1.1 million people. So it was a huge opportunity for Atlanta around the world to broadcast its name. And I think the World Cup will give another input or influx of marketing to our brand. And so that's going to be a good thing.
Well, we look forward to the Peach Bowl, the Wolverines and the Gators. Gary, I do appreciate your taking a few minutes, and Chick-fil-A is going to be something that we look at and think about, next year with the semifinal game too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, I should say, just as a college football fan, the kickoff games have been marvelous. What a tremendous addition, and we really look forward to the lineup you have in the future. Thanks, Gary.
Well, John, and you appreciate what you do with college sports and for us in the city. And so thanks a lot for having us, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and hopefully we'll see you at the game.
Yeah, hopefully get a chance to get on down there. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Well.
Happy Merry Christmas to you, too. Happy Merry Christmas.
All right, Gary Stokins joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Michigan, Florida, the big bowl game in town this year. When we get back, we venture into that area of the show known as Hugh's World.
Yes, well, I have a lot on my mind today, and I'm going to share with you the people of 92.9 The Game on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus.
the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
I don't know what it is, but the last couple of days, I have a few things on my mind, but I want to get this off my chest first because this happened to me yesterday. Thank you, Daryl. I don't understand why when I leave the Colony Square, you know I have issue with the Colony Square, but I don't understand why people are always testing my brakes. They're testing the brakes on my truck every day. And what I mean by that is, we've all seen it when we come out of Colony Square, the individuals that are walking across the street, like not at the stop sign, but before the stop sign. But not only are they doing that, they're walking in a casual, leisurely way, which is cool. Listen, I'm all for that. But don't give me the attitude looking at me like you about to slap me across my lips because you're jaywalking. I mean, that is not the case. I mean, it's not, that's not cool. But I just don't understand why, like, number one, you're going to put your life in my hands knowing that my brakes work, because you just never know. They might not work. They might not work. Or I might be doing something. I might have had a rough day at work, and I might have my mind on something else, and I might not see you cross street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to hit you, but I'm just saying, you are taking a serious chance when you see Tukey rolling and you just running across, you just walk across the street casually. I ain't no tell. I might not see you because, you know, Tukey's a big old truck, so I might not see you. So I'm just saying, if you are one of these individuals that do that, just know, if I hit you, it's not personal. I probably didn't see you. I'm not trying to hit you because I know the laws in Georgia.
Hey, man.
Hey, have you ever seen anybody get ticketed for jaywalking? Has you ever seen it ever enforced?
No, I haven't. And another thing, even at the crosswalks, the people that walk at the crosswalks, y'all need to stop tripping too. Like, I understand that it's the right of way in Georgia, and I do respect the law.
Yeah, pedestrians have the right way, right?
But sometimes people don't see you, and you're walking across the street at your pace, and you're trying to, you know, it becomes like a cat and mouse game where we're trying to beat you to the walk. Trying to beat you to the walk. So y'all need to chill out with that, man, and don't, you know, don't be taking chances. Don't be taking those penitentiary chances.
Well, you know, not only that, but, I mean, you can't even see turning out of Colony Square. We have a blind turn out of Colony Square right now. I mean, it's one of those, when you come out of our building because of all the construction downtown, you're turning going, please don't hit me, with somebody that I cannot see, you know, coming around the corner.
Yeah, and another thing that had the internet all abuzz yesterday. Did you see the picture? Did anybody see the picture that I tweeted yesterday of Tiki Barber and some red go-go boots? He was on the show with... He was on Good Morning America with my man, Michael Strahan. Shout out to Big Michael Strahan. And he had on some red, like, thigh-high boots. And, you know, I didn't see it because, you know, that's during the time where we're kind of doing our thing or winding down from doing our thing. But come to find out, Tiki Barber is going to be a part of the cast. I guess the main character's name is Don from Kinky Boots.
Yeah, it's a big Broadway show.
Yeah, and you know, I tweeted a picture, right, John?
Mm-hmm.
And I tweeted it, and I said on the caption, I said, shout out to Tiki Barber. You know, it takes somebody who's really comfortable in their skin to go out in public and wear those kinky boots, because these boots are like super thigh-high boots. And I was sincere in my saying of that. I was so sincere. But it's safe to say that the friends that follow me, none of them will ever, 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 ever host the Oscars. They would never get an opportunity to host Oscars because some of the mean and hurtful stuff they said about that man was ridiculous. But I encourage you people to look at it like this, especially the guys, because the guys were the ones, you know, women were confused. Guys were the ones that said the most. But I look at it like this. Yes, those boots were pretty high and they looked a little crazy on him. But just imagine how comfortable you have to be to, number one, do a musical. Like, Tiki Barber is about to, that's a musical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to get out there and sing. And number two, to sing in a pair of boots like that, or to walk in a booth like that. You know, that's the thing. It's hard to be a woman in this day and age, especially a woman that walks in high heels. I find it, like, you know what the most fascinating thing on the planet is to me, and I don't know if anybody else feels this way, is a woman that can walk in stilettos and make it look awesome.
Let's ask, because Wendy, you would know what high heels are like. I've never worn high heels. Is it as tough as it looks like to walk in high heels?
I just feel like we've worn them for so long, you don't even think about it.
That's what I'm saying. You have to be groomed. Like,
they're comfortable.
Like, you have to be. I'm talking about the stilettos with the little bitty, the little thingy. Uh-huh. Like, there was a
a video on the internet where some model, I guess they put her in some the big boots, and she broke both her ankles walking down the runway. It was breaking her ankles walking down the runway trying to walk.
Two questions for you. What was Michael Strahan's reaction? And Eddie George, if you remember, was in a Broadway show about a year or two ago, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember the name of the show, but Eddie George has also done this as well. Maybe not the same similar type of show, but he has participated on Broadway.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's such a day and age where Tiki is trying to expand his role. You know, Tiki's an interesting character. He's a talented guy.
No, and
obviously.
I mean, expand his role, but you talk about his bounce back game. Think about all the turmoil that he went through from what was it, Sochi? The Sochi Olympics?
Yes.
And things that happened of that nature in his career, and for him to bounce back like that, I applaud him for that, man. I mean, and to be even considered to do a Broadway play in New York City. New York, this ain't no off-Broadway type situation. This is some New York, like he's doing shows. I guess he's doing like, two or three shows a night or something crazy like that. So this is a grind. And for him to be the main character on that, like shout out to him, even though they are New York Giants, and it's kind of hard for me to do, but shout out to both of those guys, man. I mean, him and Michael Strahan, who have found, they found their niche in other things outside of football. Because as you know, John, it's hard for a lot of guys when they retire from the game of football, because you're still fairly a young man. It's hard to find other things to do when you did football for your whole life. And for Michael Strahan to get out there, and you look at his resume, a guy that is doing NFL, on Fox, but also had a TV show for a little while. Had a TV show.
Yeah, very popular TV show.
Yeah, it wasn't that popular because they canceled it. But, shout out to Michael Strahan and T. Barber for that, man.
If you're not going to be able to make it the game on Sunday, our official watch party for the Falcons in Arizona is at Taco Mac Cumberland starting at noon. Tons of prize giveaways, Falcons cheerleaders, Freddie the Falcon, alumni, and more. Taco Mac Cumberland starting at noon on Sunday. When we get back, the NFL. Who are the leaders in the clubhouse right now for some of the major awards in the NFL? Who do you think, if you had to vote on the MVP, who would it be right now? As we continue next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game.